radiologist comrade Chando Prasad has reported in his Guyanese semi-monthly weather report. Last month particularly was rather windy, which perhaps contributed in transporting desert dust from Africa to the Caribbean, the highest gusts reaching 32 miles per hour, highest ever known. He said he was reporting this area. He said, although the month was unusually dry, with only one-tenth of the average rainfall being experienced, and despite the bright sunshine, which lasted for an average of 7.9 hours per day, the midday temperatures were just about 80 degrees, while the minimum temperature dropped to 72 in the late hours of the night. The report added, the low temperatures must be attributed to the thin sheets of higher-level clouds, which were formed by condensation of water vapor around numerous dust particles that originated from the dry and dusty Sahara Desert. Apparently, these dust-induced clouds intercepted some of the sunshine before reaching the ground, thus causing low temperatures. Kamal Prasad, meteorologist, also explained in his report the rather unusual clouds, which covered an average of two-thirds of the sky each day, were too thin to produce any significant rainfall. It was because of this, he said, there were only 6 rain days in the city, with the highest rainfall being recorded on March 8th, when only a 29% of an inch of rainfall was recorded. According to the report, March was a very dry and windy month, particularly in the capital, with the rate of evaporation was some 5 times higher than the rainfall experienced. Mobis experienced less than 1 inch of rainfall, Demerara between 1 and 2 inches, and Essequibo just about 1.25 inches. In the Georgetown area, a mere 1.7 inches was recorded. There were 22 rainless days throughout Guyana, with hot, sunny weather. It became more severe during the latter half of the month, thus causing actually an increase in heat above the average during the last days of the month. In the reporting on the environmental effects of the weather, Kamal Prasad explained that because there has been very little rainfall since early January, the level of water in the several conservancies has fallen to their very lowest in the history of Guyana. We are fortunate here in Georgetown on this Tuesday morning to not know what it is to experience shortage of water, one of the few places in the world that has clean water. Out of the states, that have been just washed away, many others like Nebraska, Midwestern states, Southern California with water, and has polluted drinking water by mixing graveyards, sewage, and so forth into the drinking streams. We're one of the few people on earth that has very clean water and have water in abundance. For as I said, the conservancies, the reservoirs, have fallen to their very lowest even in Guyana, and has resulted in shortages of water both for domestic and irrigation purposes elsewhere in the country, with the exception of our own immediate area. We were the only area not affected, the Northwest District, to any great degree. It has also resulted in water rationing in most areas of Guyana and most areas of the world being introduced, and in salt water creeping upstream into the riverbeds where there is natural water. Salt has crept into upstream tributaries. And this is why our weather was different, very hot burning sun, that cloud protection that has since been remedied. We are now getting the water we need by rainfall. But the Sahara dust blown in from rather strange gusts, the upper air currents have been completely altered by man's foolishness. As you have known, I projected what scientists are saying, that in time, in a very short time, the weather of USA will be cold as an ice age is moving again from all appearances, and you'll have to be as far down as the state of Florida to even have decent temperature, sub-freezing temperature. You'd have to move to this area of the world to find a temperature like Northern California. That is the future of mankind. And ice is predicted even before the end of the century, just a matter of years, to cover all of Central America. People like those who live in Philadelphia, so across Midwest, San Francisco, even down to the south, would be covered with nothing but ice. It would end up being an ice age like you see now in the northern part of the globe, or the southern part. Neither the north or the south pole would have anything on USA due to the way wind currents have been altered that have caused such confusion as this, that Sahara dust has been up thousands of miles to cause a thin cloud covering. It has been collected in our area. That dust has also been blown into other parts of the United States and throughout the rest of the world. Desert dust being picked up and carried across the ocean due to man. But in Guyana, the Guyantel, the Guyana International Telecommunications Corporation, female independent clerical operating section of Guyantel, won their demands by a sick-out. Instead of receiving the pointed end of a bayonet, as would have been the case in the United States, demanding that they go back to work forthwith. Several of the officers in Somalia that attempted to bring about an aborted coup d'etat and cause the government to come to peace with Ethiopia and establish a firm socialist base in the economy and the military of Somalia, several of the officers involved beyond the 17 have escaped to the sanctuary of Ethiopia. Others of the 17, at this time, it is not released by the news, were relieved of the danger of dying by firing squad by a brave commando, joint commando operation between the Cubans and the Ethiopians that managed to get to the officers and release them. Thus, a victory for the people has taken place, even though the Somalian armed forces, who were socialist and wanted to lead to a cooperative government between Black Ethiopia and the Arabian government of Somalia, did not succeed this time in overthrowing the reactionary government that has been established and now being used miserably to oppress the people, to incite aggression against the Black Ethiopian people, and to attempt for advantage to take over the Horn of Africa. Although it did not succeed this time to take over the Somalian government and give it back into the hands of a socialist democracy for the people, it is good to note that those who attempted this heroic effort did not end up dead. As I intervened last night, rejected. I thought something would happen. I just felt something would, as I was talking to some, and it did. Furthermore, Ethiopia has resisted all attempts at expansionism through the brave assistance of the Cuban and Soviet revolutionary elements. There are thousands strong in Ethiopia. They have resisted all efforts to take over Ethiopian territory. Ogaden, you should look on your map constantly till all of you can pass the map test. For the map will be a requirement for all. So be sure you have passed your knowledge of the map. As of this morning early, Transkei region, province of South Africa, the dreaded fascist, racist concentration camp regime, upheld by U.S. corporate ruling class elite, has still successfully maintained its independence and strengthened its position. A number of parachuting attempts have been successful in bringing food, supplies, and military equipment. At the time of this commentary, the Union of South Africa has not even responded in any way to the Transkei development, which is an encouraging breakthrough for black liberation, that this state oppressed and supposedly well in the control of the orbit of Union of South Africa, because the Union of South Africa's dictator, Worcester, pro-Nazi, open sympathizer with Adolf Hitler, who was jailed in the World War II era for being a protege of Adolf Hitler, even in spite of the fact that Worcester and U.S. corporate interest had placed in a hand-picked puppet for Transkei's prime ministry or governorship, he turned against them, and an entire administration of their so-called puppet regime turned against them and demanded independence and sued for separation from the dreaded fascist regime in the Union of South Africa that you should take clear note of on your map, because the tests that will be given in the future will be tests that are extensive, thorough, and will be perceptively aware of what you do or you do not know. So take heed. Zahora Khan, proprietor of a city hotel, and Dampati Maharaj, one of her employees, were yesterday fined a total of $1,500 by Principal Magistrate Prem Prasad after they were found guilty of black marketing or white marketing Bristol cigarettes. They did not receive a jail sentence. Guyana is not one to believe strongly in jails as sources of rehabilitation. That apparently is their emphasis in this present governmental administration of the People's National Congress, the ruling party. As you know, the opposition party is the PPP, the People's Progressive Party, and the WPA, the Working People's Alliance, under Dr. Walter Rodney, that had, even though he is opposition, had kind words to say about People's Temple. It has been the report from Georgetown over the telephone that our people received when they went in yesterday, last evening, that we have been praised at all levels of government by officials of every walk of life for our entertainment. We've been asked to involve ourselves in all kinds of cultural performances, May Day celebrations, the International Socialist Workers' Day celebration in May, one even in a couple of weeks, and the large Labor Day festivities, which are the most important in Guyana. We've been asked to participate in Independence Day. The requests are coming from everywhere for our participation culturally and entertainment-wise. We, of course, will be glad to honor Guyana. We do demand that our entertainment receive proper cultural coverage, that it be given its prominence that it deserves. This is a demand of the leader, not to have him mention all the phases necessarily of our program, but we would have known that it was the socialist, Marxist-Leninist practices of Jonestown that contributed to this entertainment, and that they must be given the honor due that they are going to get, or we will not be performing for certain governmental-related meetings and organizations. We will just entertain privately in hotels and other types of community festivities, and we'll not lend ourselves to being used if people who want our association don't want to give recognition to that association. Then there are powerful influences, contradictory enough, even some of the biggest business elements of the country, that would be more than glad to see us perform and give recognition. Anyway, for an extensive whitemailing or blackmailing operations, the owner of the City Hotel in Guyana will only fine $1,500. Muhammad Hakim Khan, husband of Zahora Khan, who was jointly charged with others for the offense, was freed after the court found that he had nothing to do with the transactions. They were all charged jointly for selling the cigarettes far above the fixed prices. It is alleged that on March 12th, that Maharaja sold several packets of Bristol cigarettes to police decoy. Each packet for over $1 was charged. She was fined $500, while her employer was fined $1,000, but no jail sentence was given. Owen Williams, who was found by police with an envelope containing large quantity of marijuana, cannabis sativa, marijuana in his possession, was yesterday fined $500 by Principal Magistrate Prem Prasad after he pleaded guilty to the charge. He was given 3 months to pay the fine and will be released in the meantime. This is unheard of in any place but a humanitarian administration such as a socialist government. He's required to take some educational courses about the dangers of a drug culture and how it can be brought in innocently through cannabis sativa or the marijuana cigarette. Nonetheless, he was not put in jail for lack of money, which is a custom of the capitalist system. He was given 3 months to pay the fine. Court prosecutor Lionel Stewart disclosed that Williams was held at the corner of Main and Holmes streets with a cannabis or marijuana. He was at that time in the company with two other men. The others were not charged. Williams told the court that he was given the envelope by friends to take up to the Essequibo. Nonetheless, for a crime that would have brought serious charges, particularly conspiracy to sell, was given some consideration and thoughtfulness. Robert Wisner was yesterday fined $500 after he pleaded guilty to having marijuana cigarettes in his possession. Wisner told the magistrate that he searched the entire town for cigarettes but was unable to obtain any, so he purchased marijuana cigarettes for 50 cents because he really wanted to smoke. Police, acting on information, held the defendant in a downtown store. Meanwhile, Jennifer Dawson, one of the four women, who along with nine men are charged with being in possession of a quantity of cannabis sativa, marijuana, was still at large. But yesterday the police informed the court that they have information as to their whereabouts and they are expected to be arrested shortly. Principal Magistrate Prem Prasad, on an earlier occasion, issued a warrant for the arrest of Robert Wisner. after he failed to attend court. Matter will come up for trial on April 28. The defendants in this case are Joylyn Pyle, Marvin Sandy, Keith McGibbon, Rudolph Haywood, Andrew Corbin, Adolphus Peters, Errol Williamson, Charles Adams, Lennox Bristol, Patricia Barnwell, Carol Eastman, Jennifer Dawson, and Donna Dempster, all of whom are jointly charged with being in possession of a quantity of cannabis sativa in a house at Tiger Bay. Pyle and Peters are on $2,000 bail each, while the others are on $1,000 bail each, given 3 months to comply. 3 months now. In other words, 3 months again to pay the cost. There's not a great drug problem here, in spite of the lighter sentences and the considerate handling of those who have offended this law. I named the defendants to take note that they were of African English heritage and not East Indian, as some have expected. There's bigotry based on race, but not so. All of those so charged on marijuana, apparently, most of them are of black African heritage, in spite of the courts and the government being predominantly black. The ceremony of the unveiling of a plaque of the Burma Housing Scheme, the Myakoni Aboriginal Rice Development Scheme on the East Coast Demerara, takes place on Thursday, April 16th. Two government ministers, Comrade Dr. Hamilton Green, a very good friend of ours, Minister of Health, Labor, and Comrade Gilbert Mingo, Minister of Home Affairs, Immigration, are listed to participate in the proceedings. Comrade Mingo will deliver the address, while Comrade Green will unveil the plaque. Our radio people should suggest, being that they are both our good friends and have been good to intervene, give us information, assistance, and license our doctor, that we should indeed have some of our people there on East Coast Demerara on Thursday, April 16, to participate and show our support for them. The police are investigating the shooting to death of a 30-year-old man on Holmes Street, Georgetown, over the last weekend. He was described as one Mike Henry, North American, pronounced dead on arrival to Georgetown Hospital with a gunshot wound in his back. The Criminal Investigations Department reported there were conflicting reports as to how Henry met his death. Henry is reported to have told a friend who took him to the hospital that he was shot in Curtis Street, Augustown. The friend said he learned from other sources that he was shot in Bangustown, East Bank, Demerara. The police are investigating. The young man, North American, black, had fled from the law. Did not say whether there was any efforts by U.S. law enforcement officials to reach out to get him. And he had, of course, received sanctuary in Guyana that has no extradition treaties with USA. USA, Guyana have no laws in which they will exchange prisoners, which is, of course, the proper thing, that no socialist country should have such a law with a capitalist country, even though it does work hardships on Guyanese, that they cannot reach to USA and get elements of conspiracies against themselves. But someone reached out to this North American, and it pays our people to be extremely cautious and careful to not lend themselves to being away from their jobs or their other members of the colleagues, cooperatives, comrades that are working towards certain goals and ideals in Guyana. Those who are procuring should take care. There may be no connection with anything other than the young man was in a very bad neighborhood at a late, late hour. Nonetheless, we want to take extra precautions. Our people should be advised to take extra precautions. U.S. Steel Corps, the U.S. Steel Companies, forced to change mind about price hikes. Two U.S. Steel Companies, including the gigantic U.S. Steel Corporation, have agreed to reduce planned price increases under pressure from the Carter administration, which has pledged to fight inflation, which tends to wreck an economy, said President Carter. U.S. Steel, the country's largest producer, announced that it had planned an increase of $10.50 a ton, and now it will be modified to be competitive in the market on a product-by-product basis. He gave no other details. An hour later, Wheeling Pittsburgh Steel Corporation, which had planned the same rise at U.S. Steel, made a similar statement. The measures were intended to recover costs connected with the new coal miners' agreement reached 2 weeks ago to end a 115-day strike that received that failed to receive the backing that it should from the head of all labor, AFL-CIO head Meany. No funds were allotted to them to help them in their near-starvation-like existence in resisting the slave class property owners that run the mines inadequately without proper safety measures, not even giving proper ventilation, thus assuring the average miner in the USA dies at 44 years of age with silicosis, black lung disease, spitting out their lungs piece by piece. The administration of the U.S. Steel Corporations, however, contended that the new management would have to have a $4 a ton increase to steel cost, or it would break the back entirely of U.S. Steel. At this time, they have not been able to get a $4 increase, as the President and other members of Congress are using firm measures of pressure on them to stop them from increasing their prices. New news has been brought to light that the Soviet Union, by their own confirmation of TASS News agencies, do have the capability within their reach of destroying all platforms, all spy satellites, any optimal weapon that the USA or any other enemy of the people might put into outer space. The Soviet Union TASS News agency would not comment on Secretary of State Vance's charges that they possess such weapons that defied the imagination. They merely said, it is true, we have been forced to develop things that we are not fond of out of concern about the inhumanitarian system of capitalism. Said capitalism has no hesitation in developing bombs of the most barbaric proportions, bombs such as a neutron that destroys all people and living things without touching the precious possession of property, which is the capitalist god. So the Soviet Union has unheralded and escalated, no doubt, a new era in the arms race, out of necessity.
A breakthrough in some laser technology,
some beam technology that can destroy all orbiting satellites or missiles coming in. So the rumor has now been given documentation. The Soviet Union possesses the capability of knocking out of space,
not only just 400 miles before they reach
Soviet territory, the missiles come back into the atmosphere if they can actually stop the missiles the moment they get into orbit, just minutes after they leave the United States, or some enemy capitalist submarine from fascist USA, it can be stopped by satellite laser. Soviets are now orbiting space platforms and
killer satellites
that can destroy any orbiting weapon, missile, or bomb headed for the Soviet Union. Details were not given, but it was confirmed
by TASS news
agencies from Moscow that the Soviet Union had this breakthrough. Stand by. Remember the important news of yesterday, that due to vast intelligence network in Nigeria, the president of Nigeria uncovered to his undercover people in the Hilton Hotel.